Suffer not, let the little children come unto him, Jehovah Elohim said. Unless you become like little children, you shall now wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. I think that's enough message for today, don't you think? What more can I say? All that music?
Everybody go take a nap.
My child speaks a million words in just his little sleep. The message today is going to be entitled Matthew 15:8, but I'm going to go back to Matthew 1 to continue it. But my title is going to be in Matthew 15, verse 8. By the way, my name is Jeffrey Zemlicka. This is my lovely parents, my wife Patricia, my son Ephraim, and my daughter Zipporah. And Dinah's back there, and Hadassah is sleeping in today. Okay, spending time with her cousins. Matthew 15, verse 8. I'm going to start in verse 1. Then the scribes and the Pharisees, who were from Jerusalem, came to Yeshua, or Emmanuel, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And he answered them and said unto them, "Why do you also transgress the commandments of Elohim because of your traditions? For Elohim commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whosoever says to his father and mother, 'Whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift of Elohim,' then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of Elohim of no effect by your traditions. Hypocrites, well do Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" Now, I like to let these scriptures apply to me. I'm here today exposing my heart, and this is what I've been meditating on, Matthew and Mark lately, the last couple months. And he says to me, "I honor him with the lips, but their heart is far from me." So I'm asking myself today, in this time of the way sheaf offering, we're on tomorrow after the Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread. You're all here today being waved before Messiah as an offering. Do you realize that? You're the first fruits. If you overcome, if you draw close to him, if your heart is not far from him. So this is the title of my sermon. And I ask of myself, is my heart far from him? And most often it is. But as you get older and mature, and hopefully it's becoming more of his Torah, more of his teachings into your heart. That's why I want to go to Matthew 1. This is what's been hitting me. I was just meditating on this, and it's just like, there's so much we should have respect for these elders that came before us. Each one has a meaning to their name. Each one lived a life probably righteous, because Joseph was a fruit of that righteousness. 14 generations, then another 14 generations. I like to speak their names. I probably won't do it correctly, but I like to out of honor and respect, because he talked about it. They didn't honor and respect their parents. They said, "I'm a gift to you, so respect me." Isn't that what the children do? I mean, and that's sad. So they're disrespecting their parents because you got to bow down to them and worship them today. Are we not doing the same thing? Is not our children trying to do the same thing to us? You know, no, we are the leaders. We are the ones that are trying to get his heart into our hearts today. That's why we're here this Days of Unleavened Bread. I think it's an 8-day festival of time of cleansing and eating of his unleavened bread. I believe he was unleavened. I don't think it was leavened bread that they ate of. I believe it was an unleavened bread because he's unleavened. Because there's a law in Torah that says you can't have anything with my blood sacrifice that is leavened. Is he going to break that? No. So let's glean of this time. Let's meditate with one another and pray with one another. And we did yesterday. We We are carrying one another's burdens, and we should do that every day of our lives. But I want to read these names with respect, because they lived hard lives to get to where they are. Chapter 1, verse 1, Matthew. The book of the genealogy of Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, Yeshua, our elder brother, the son of David. Ben, how would you say that in Hebrew?
Ben David.
Now, I want you to be open. I want you to be honest. If you see something in this, just raise your hand. I want to learn from you just as much as I'm trying to learn from His heart today. I pray that His heart is coming forth. I mean, I'm standing before kings and priests in training today. Am I not? And what does He say? I will give you the words when you present yourself before them. Is He lying?
No.
So if you come up here with disrespect and say, your words, your education, your knowledge, He'll just rip that out of you. You'll become like a little child and you will babble. But so we come here, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. These are men of great righteousness. Great respect we must have. Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. What a story that is. Talk about coming out of Egypt. Were their hearts loving towards their brothers? No. Are our hearts loving towards our brothers? That's the question I ask me. You know, do we lash out because we're in pain? You know, one thing that bothers me is sarcasm. You know, I've seen a lot of people hurt because you come with a sarcastic joke, putting yourself down or putting somebody else down. And I've seen a lot of people hurt because I don't know whether you're telling me the truth or lying to me. So I lose my trust. Because you're coming and saying, well, I did this, but you're being sarcastic. I don't know whether to believe you. You know? And I've seen sarcasm hurt so many people. You know? But we have to have that heart that's in Him. That's my title today. I want to draw closer and not have a heart that's far from Him. I want to feel what He feels when He sees you, Diane. What does He see when He sees you? Because He's looking down on you. He's real. He's more real than I am. You know, each one of us, Eva, He looks down on you with great respect because you've overcame. You're overcoming. You will be in the first fruits. You will be that wave sheaf offering. Well done. Well done. Do you feel His heart? Do you feel it when you read the Scriptures, the respect that He has for these four people? That Joseph wouldn't have been the man he was if it wasn't for these to live their lives the way they did. I'm sure they weren't perfect. I know they weren't perfect. But there's a reason He wrote their names down. And Judah begot Perez. I mean, look at Judah. Just look at Judah alone. I think Joseph was more righteous than Judah ever was. And I'm sure glad I got Joseph's blood flowing through my veins. I mean, if my father's spirit's right and he says I got Judah, Joseph, and Benjamin in my veins, then I'm sure glad I got Joseph. Because Joseph had a heart that didn't quit. But what did he have to, how did he get there? We were talking about Saul the other day. Why didn't David kill Saul? Just take it over. He was anointed. No, David had to be trained. Do you understand? To be a leader. And it's these leaders to get Joseph to be willing to even listen to the Messiah or the angel that came down. He had to be trained by his forefathers. Why did Joseph do what he did when he took Mary in? You know, we're getting to that part of the story. Because he was trained. David had to be trained to be the leader of Israel. Moses, he was 80 years old before he could be used. I'm not there yet. I'm a feeble man. But I do have a mature heart for the Messiah. And I love Him deeply. You know? But please, let's lower the sarcasm. Let's just have our yes be yes, or no's be no's. If you really want to feel His heart. We're not going to belittle one another. He doesn't do that. We must mature in that. Judah begot Perez. Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Why do you think he's naming the men? Does anybody have any thoughts on that? Why do they name the men?
The seed,
doesn't it? The seed? Yeah, but this isn't the seed of Messiah.
Inheritance is through the male.
I inherit the things from my dad because I'm firstborn. So Joseph was going to inherit what his forefathers passed down, good or bad. And we have responsibility as children to overcome our parents' faults. Sometimes it's harder, and sometimes it was pretty easy with my parents. Yeah, I got some pretty hard spankings to tell us too, but after that, Dad even apologized to me later on for breaking my spirit too far. But he made me a servant because of his obedience. And Ram begot Abinadab, and Abinadab begot Nesron, and Nesron begot Solomon. Salmon begot Boaz, and Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed by Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse. Well, there's a special story right there. I mean, I think about this story, just him bringing Boaz and Ruth together, you know, and in my own relationship. It was a miracle that we even met. I gave up. I gave up on finding a wife. I was just going to serve my parents. I served them for 40 years. I just served them. But that's a special gift, a wife that serves Jehovah. Okay, and Jesse begot David, the king. So this is an important lineage up to this point. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Another mistake. Big mistake. Would have been a different family life like Herb was talking about. It probably could have been a whole different family life right then and there if you wouldn't have lusted after another woman and broke Torah. What could have been? But it was for a reason. David had a lot to learn. David had to be developed. David had to learn, you know, to follow the heart of the Messiah. I mean, you talk about the Torah coming into your heart, but what does that really mean? If you're the same this year as you were last year, then you missed it. If you don't have more love, more joy, more peace, more long-suffering, more patience, you missed it. You wasted a year of your life. You know, that's the way I feel. That's the way I'm hard on myself. I'm a perfectionist. I'll admit it. That's my fault. I'm overcoming. But it becomes a detriment to you because you are so hard on yourself. You don't do anything. I mean, like reaching out to the world. You're talking about earlier, Herb, about reaching out to the world. You get so intellectual in your depth and studies that you forget the little one that's sitting over here that's lost. You know? And I've had to overcome that myself. I've done that with my own family. Serve, but where's the balance? You know? Where's the balance? Where's that heart? Is your heart far from Him? That's the only thing you get from my message today. Just repeat that to yourself. Is your heart far from Him? This is why we're taking this time. I mean, I think they part of it is examining the Lamb. The 10th day He came in there. He came in Jerusalem. He became the Passover Lamb at that point when He rode in on the donkey. He gave authority over to that position. And He turned His authority over at midnight. And was persecuted. But He did that. He had that heart. Okay, so Solomon got Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram, and begot Azarel. Azarel begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahazah, and Ahazah begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Amon, and Amon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah, and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after that they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, And Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begot anybody?
Abiud.
Sounds good? Sorry, my forefathers, sorry. Abadu begot Elakim. Elakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok. Zadok begot Akim. Akim begot Eliud. Eliud begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Mahatan. Mahatan begot Jacob. Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Yeshua, Emmanuel, Jesus, who was called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David unto the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity to Babylon until Messiah are 14 generations. I was meditating on that 14. Anybody got any thoughts on that 14? Why do you divide it up? What's that? Numeric value of David. Anybody else? That's a good point. There's a lot of power in names. There's a lot of power in the numerical count. But I was meditating on it. I was meditating on 14. I was thinking about it. The Messiah went in the middle of the night. I'm not trying to add any doctrine or nothing. But I was just meditating on what can I glean from this principle. He went in the middle of the night. Let's say midnight. Okay, 12 o'clock. Anybody want to argue with that? Let's just say 12 o'clock. Okay? Let's go 12 hours later. What time is that? 12
o'clock.
12 o'clock. So 12. And then we add another 3 hours because it says, what's the ninth hour he was crucified? Well, that's about 14, 15 hours of persecution. You know, so maybe he was being persecuted for each generation, you know? But I don't know. I'm just thinking. I'm just trying to think about this time frame that we're going through. He was persecuted for quite a few hours. 14, 15 hours. Anybody disagree? When he handed himself over, being beaten. Can you handle that, Herb? Can you handle that, Herb? Well, think about it. The respect we must have for this individual.
So, 14 is the Passover, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of spiritual meaning in that because, I mean, he has to do. When we were talking about the other day, fulfillment, you know, well, it's all done away. There's nothing to worry about. No, it's not. He's carrying it into effect to make exact. All you have to do is look up that Greek word where it says, I came to fulfill. Just look it up in Greek. I mean, it's not that difficult. Find a concordance, prove it for yourself that I'm not lying to you. But it means carry into effect to make exact. That's what he came. And that's what I'm going to illustrate as we read through Matthew. This is what he came to fulfill. He's fulfilling these things. It doesn't have to be that complicated. We don't have to guess. It lays it out. He came to fulfill these things. That's his responsibility. But we have a responsibility in these days of unleavened bread to get his heart in us. Let the little children come on into you. Become like little children because you're not going to be in the kingdom. Do you watch the great elders here? What do they become like? They're just simple, innocent, pure-hearted. I watched my grandmother, my parents, as they all transgress through maturity, become like little children. Because Daddy knows what's best. Right, Miss Eva? It's just that simple. Daddy knows what's best. Get his heart in you. Invest in him. Study with him. Pray with him. Fast with him. Get rid of the leavening in your lives. I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm learning a lot as I do. Okay, so now the birth, let's see, are we in verse 18? Yeah, verse 18, is that correct? Now the birth of Yeshua Messiah was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. What kind of heart did she have to receive this? Did she have the heart of the Messiah? Does she have the heart of a child? She probably was, what, 16? Does anybody know exact?
No, I don't think so. I guess 14.
Okay. Well, that's pretty hard, pretty young. I can't imagine my 15-year-old. I mean, to hand her over to another. Okay, that takes a lot of faith. I don't even trust most boys there anymore. I mean, they're not growing up with this heart. And that's sad. Where are the boys? I've seen a couple here that seem to have the little bit I talked to them have that heart, the Messiah, wanting to be here. They wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here if you didn't want to be here. It's so easy to get distracted. So easy to hook into chaos. But that's why we're here. That's why we're here. We're here to meditate on the Scriptures and be blessed by them and show respect to our forefathers. I don't think we show enough respect. I mean, they weren't. They weren't showing no respect to the Messiah. You know? Do we? Do we have His heart? I hope so. I hope we're overcome. Because you won't be a wave sheep. You won't be a part of the first fruits. Well, there's Ethan and Judah. Well done, good boys. And becoming young men, I should say.
Yeah.
Keep up the good work. Respect those women. Protect them. It's your job. Okay, so she had to have a lot of faith to do this. I mean, I think about it. I mean, she's going to learn that her son's going to die. You know? I struggle with that, tell you the truth. How can you serve a harsh, cruel God of the Old Testament that kills His own son? I mean, that's our carnal mind, is it not? We can't understand. I can't understand why He allows Zippy to struggle for the last 8 years with life and death, with her diabetes. I don't understand it. But yet I do because I'm trying to get His heart in me. That death and suffering is not physical. It's spiritual. And the interesting thing about Zipporah is she's very spiritually minded. And I think it has a lot to do with what she's been through.
She's also more mature than...
She's a lot more mature than most kids her age. 13 years old. But it's because of the things she suffers. And it's because of the things the Messiah suffers. You know, I wish I could just pray for everyone in this room and all our pain is gone. But you can't. All I can do is ask. But that's His heart. Do you realize that? That's His heart. He wants to do that. He wants to grab you and take all the pain away from you. I believe, anyways, what I've learned in 51 years. Struggling with this flesh. Getting His mind into my heart. So after this, okay, so she, you know, it talks about the Father Spirit will come as a comforter to you. You know, I don't know what it's like to be without His voice. I'm not being arrogant about it. I'm just humbly saying, I don't know what it's like not to live. Because I've been taught by Torah, I've been taught by my parents to live the Sabbath, the feast, to its fullest. Serve, give everything. My wife gets mad because I give too much. I want to give it all. You know, but I got to take care of them too. You know, so that's the heart. He didn't even have a pillow to lay His head. What kind of heart is that? You know? I can't imagine. It's beyond my heart. I mean, these sin sick people that are ungrateful and spoil rotten. Our nature. I can't understand it. You know? But I gotta learn that. And I gotta learn that. I gotta have that heart. Oh, let this heart be in you. But what? Okay, let's see. Okay. Then Joseph, now here again, he learned from his forefathers. Joseph had to have righteousness to even do this or consider this next step. Joseph, her husband, being a just man. You know, some people say, you don't have no righteousness. But Torah says otherwise. If you do these things, you will have righteousness. He was a just man. There was something different in his heart, like King David. Man, he made a lot of mistakes. I still don't understand that one. How can he be a man after Elohim's own heart? I mean, I never cheated on my wife. I never killed a man to cheat. But yet he was considered a man after his own heart. I don't even hardly have ill will towards anybody. I'm probably too much the opposite. I don't even think I could kill anybody, to tell you the truth. Unless he gave me the strength. I mean, Patty and I go around about that. I said, he'd have to give the direct command to take somebody else's life for me to do that. And not wanting to make her a public example was minded to put her away secretly. Oh, what a heart. What a heart to respect and love that woman and to take on this being that was about... I mean, he had to have the willing heart to even listen to the angel.
Yeah.
You know? Do we have that heart? That's quite a responsibility as fathers. And it's not even his own blood relationship. But while he had thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you, Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and his name, and shall call his name Jesus, or Emmanuel, I know that. For he shall save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet through the prophet saying. Okay, here's a hint. What did he come to fulfill? We can make all the conjectures we wanted, all these, but I'm going to stick to the scriptures. You know, well, he did away with the law. That's what he came to fulfill. Let's just read the scriptures. It's not that complicated. My heart as a child can understand. My elder brother came so that what? He will save his people from sins. Check. Fulfillment. He was born. Mary was obedient. Joseph was obedient. What if they wouldn't have been obedient? Would we have the Messiah? It's a question I ask myself. What if I'm not obedient? Will I be a first fruit offering in the first resurrection? Because I can walk away. If I listen to those negative thoughts the adversary throws at you, his darts, if I don't use my shield of faith and say, resist, and he will flee from you, any one of you can walk away. And we have at times, have we not? Yeah. Oh, that this heart be in you. Don't be far from him. Take this time to invest in him. Get nearer to him. So all this is done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. If you want a name, there's a name, pretty straightforward. Is that not Hebrew? Herb, is that not from the Hebrew? Okay, well, we don't have to argue about it. He came to be with us. Check. Another fulfillment. No question. My kids can understand this. He came to be with us. Fulfillment. Completed. He's here. He's alive. The Word that became flesh. I believe it was Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh Elohim in Genesis 2. That became flesh. The spokesman. Maybe I'm all wet, but that's where I'm at. I think he was there. He was the mediator, talking with mankind. The man in white linen. You ever think about that? I was listening to a sermon on that the other day. The man in white linen appeared, I think, twice in the old scriptures. You ever think about who that might be? Food for thought. Shall be a child and bear a son, and they shall call his name. So there's no argument. We can say Yeshua if we want or whatever, but I'm sticking with it, what the scripture says. I can strongly say Emmanuel, relating to my Messiah who died with me, because it means something to me. I mean, we got to understand those things. Yeshua means, you know, Yahweh saves, literally, saving one. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took him his wife. So are we obedient? Are we going to do what he says to us? Do we listen to that spirit of our father? And did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus, or we can say Emmanuel. I can live on that. The problem with Jesus to me, and this is my personal belief, is it's been so tainted, we don't even know who he is. And that name represents a fallen, falling away from and living in right lawlessness. But to me, but that's just my personal belief. But I respect, I grew up with that name, but I want to dig deeper. I want his heart in me. I want to know who he really was. Not a Greek name. I want to know who he was. Now, after Yeshua was born, or Emmanuel was born in the Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, did I skip a point? Nope, okay, I'm there. So chapter 2. How am I doing on time, Mark? All right, is everybody falling asleep? Where's my son? He's sleeping, so I guess I'm not doing my job. Now, after she was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Now, there could be a contradiction here because I think it was 2 years later, if I'm correct, saying, where is he that has been born king of the Jews? For he has... So after he was born, it doesn't give us a time frame. So am I wrong in that it was about 2 years after this point? So there's a jump of 2 years in here, just so you know. you got to be careful of reading the scriptures because there can be jumps of many years. Yeah. Oh, the two. So there you go. Second witness. Second witness, I'm not just pulling this stuff out of thin air. I hope you know your scriptures.
Also later a little further down, they come into the child. So is that word is different than the word that you're in?
Yep. Good point. That's why I'm learning from you. Saying, where is he who has been born of the King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. That was great respect. You know, some of the writings say they were bringing things that were passed down from Adam in the garden. I don't know. But it's an incredible thought. The respect they had. I mean, their forefathers. I'm just thinking about the forefathers wanting to pass down this knowledge or respect. You know? I'm just trying to get to his heart. You know? I'm just trying to get to his heart. When Herod the king heard that he was troubled in Jerusalem with him, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And he said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is written. Check. Fulfillment. Pay attention. Where did he come to fulfill? But ye, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judea. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Did he fulfill that? He's still fulfilling that. It's not in total fulfillment yet. Then Herod, who had secretly called the wise men, determined from them that what time the star appeared. And he said to them, Bethlehem, and he said, go and search carefully for your young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Lie. 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 Maybe that was a little bit of sarcasm. Example of sarcasm right there. Who does it hurt? Just laughing under his breath. And they were heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Any thoughts on the star? Can anybody add? Anybody meditate on the star or anything?
Some people might think it could be
an angel. An angel? I've heard some say it could have been the planets forming together to create that light. But anyways, it was in the east. I think that's interesting. Where is he coming from?
East.
Check. Prophecy. Okay. So is that saying the law is done away? No, it's carrying it in effect to make it exact. check. And soon to be checkmate. And when anyone saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Exceedingly great joy. Heart. Are we rejoicing this feast with exceedingly great joy? I mean, it's a struggle because if you think about and meditate on what he went through for us to be here, respect for our forefathers, it's a pretty humbling experience, is it not? Did you take that 14th day to think about what he was going through? You know, what he was suffering? Did you take time out to even consider what he was going through? I mean, I think we should. I think we should recommit ourselves every year, examining ourselves that he is our Messiah. If you don't like do every Sabbath, if you don't do, you know, at least meditating on something, you're not recommitting yourself. You lose. You don't remember. Speaking from experience. And when we're not guilty, I'm guilty. But I'm the other side. I could study for 8 hours like we did, Herb, with my friend Joe. I don't know if you remember that. We sat with the Scriptures for 8 hours at one feast. 8 hours. That's the kind of mind I have. I get excited about learning new things. But that's not for everybody. Not for everybody. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary. So it says house. And do you not? Yeah. So do you not think this is part of prophecy of just like Moses? Check. Tried to kill 2-year-old younger. Check. Fulfillment. Prophecy of prophetic that he was going to do the same. I mean, Moses was in that stead, that priestly line, was he not? I think it's interesting. He had to have a spokesman too. Because I sure need a spokesman at the time. It's like my wife and I, we're kind of a tag team. She'll get their attention, start learning about them, and then I can come in and start praying with them and giving them answers with the Scripture. So it's like a tag team. She's like more of the voice, outspoken one, and I'm the more quiet, reserved one. Like, Herb, I know how you are, you know. It's like, but he's changing us, isn't he, Herb? We're becoming more outspoken. Because it's in my heart. It's in my heart. But when I'm a normal person, I'm very quiet and reserved. Because I'm meditating. You know? You know, to be honest with you, when I come into a room, I feel people's pain. That's his heart. I carry a big, great burden for people. And it's overwhelming at times. And that's why I cry. I mean, I don't do it for show. I don't do it for... I just feel what he's feeling. You know? I'm not trying to be arrogant or show off. I just raised my hands because he told me to. Give him respect. I do this sign because I want shalom over people. I want completeness. You know? It's not because... I don't know. That's the heart we need to have. When you walk into a room, you're wondering, how can I bless you? You know? The heart of a child. They love you. They want to serve you. They want to... But it's us that make them jerks. Do we realize that? We make our children jerks. It's our responsibility to raise them. You know? But we're not perfect. King David wasn't perfect. But our hearts should be changing every year. We should be better examples to our grandchildren, to the children that are here. I made mistakes. I picked myself up. I overcame. That should be the story we should be telling our children or anyone we can meet on the street, you know? But they think you're crazy. If I really revealed my heart to somebody walking down the street, you can't. You can't, because it's like putting your pearls among swine. Until you get to know them, you have to develop a relationship with people. And that's what the Messiah is doing here. He's starting a relationship with each one of us, you know? Check. Okay, so they brought these gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Anybody studied any of this? Why these three gifts? You know? You got to study on this? I mean, there's a lot of healing in these things. It's in the oils.
They're very valuable, yeah.
The oils alone.
Yeah.
cleansing. Check, prophecy. What did he come to do? Cleanse us. Frankincense, that's hard to get. So it's another purifying agent. And myrrh. For pain? Well, we need that. Do we not need the Messiah for pain? I mean, he says, carry my burden, for it is light. You know? Okay, so, 12. Verse 12. See, I'm just reading the scriptures. Heart of a child, where did he come to fulfill? The answers are here. Not that complicated. See, have we said anything about doing away with the law?
No.
No. He's doing the exact opposite. He's carrying it into effect what he was supposed to do, what his requirement was. But we have requirements. First fruit offering. I mean, the scriptures say the end of the law is the Messiah, but I think that's a poor translation because that really, if you look in that Greek, that word end there, in our Western carnal mind, it means it's over. But if you look in the Greek, just look in the Greek, that word end. Prove it for yourself. Don't believe me. You know, it means the aim, the goal, the result. He's the target. His heart should become in us. I hope he's not saying to you, your heart is far from me. I don't want that for anyone in this room. I want you to be all first fruits. I want to be first fruits. Do our hearts desire that? I know they do because we're here. Okay. Then being divinely warned, again, if Joseph wouldn't have listened to this, a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from their own country another way. And when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take your young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you your word, for Herod will seek your young child to destroy him." Check! Prophecy! Isn't there a prophecy about coming out of Egypt?
Yeah.
Are we not coming out of Egypt? What did he come to fulfill? I mean, if you look at these things, you can't deny he's the Messiah. Right? If you do, then you're a liar and the truth is not in you. And you don't know his heart and your heart is far from him. I'm not getting excited to be, you know, I just feel it deeply. Don't you feel your forefathers, what they went through, just what they did for you? I mean, it's hard because a lot of our fathers treat us with disrespect, but it was easier for me because my father treated me with great respect. But the Messiah loves you deeply. I just hope you can get that message, and he wants you to draw closer to him and get his heart in you this days of unleavened bread. Suffer not the little children to come unto me. Now when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. So if he wouldn't have been obedient, this prophecy would not have been kept. And he probably would have died without his protection. Or it would have been a lot harder journey. Would it not? Having done that, made a wrong choice, and then come back years later and say, "Oh, if I would have did it differently,
yeah,
it could have been a lot easier. If I wouldn't have smoked and drank myself when I was younger, my life could be a lot easier." You know? And I didn't do that. But I watched my grandfather struggle with it. So I didn't desire it. And plus discernment from the Spirit above, the voice, kept me from that. Am I lying? You're my parents. My wife Patty's here. Ask them. Is this not my heart? And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed from Egypt. Again by night. Is that not prophecy? When did they come out? When did they come out of Egypt? This is going into Egypt. When did they come out? A completion. Check. Prophecy. Fulfill. Anything about the law here? Okay. So he went into Egypt. Why do you think he went into Egypt? To fulfill a prophecy. But what about we were talking about, remember, we were talking about Saul and David principle? What did David have to learn? You know, he was a child at this point, what, 2 years old, roughly? But do you think he not remembered this? I know my dad talks about it. I remember doing things at 2 years old. Do you think he was not learning in this process? Learning about Egypt a little bit? Overcoming Egypt a little bit at 2 years old? That's a pretty strong individual because no sin was found in him. You think about that? Check. Fulfillment. Overcoming. Overcoming the world so that you can. At 2 years old. What's our excuse? What's our excuse? Our carnality. We really don't have his heart. We don't really want to do... When we talk to people, it's a burden to them. They'll get mad at you. Just quote a scripture to them, they'll get mad at you. I mean, I've gotten to the point, I don't have an opinion no more. My opinion don't matter. I just quote scripture. That's all that matters. Every thought. If you have it in your heart, every thought, everything you do, everything you live by, you're quoting scripture.
Amen.
You know, that's what I base everything off of. His example. What did he do? What is his example? What's his aim? What's his goal? What should I be doing today? It's not about arrogancy. It's about a meekness. But that's not weakness. You may say I'm emotional and in a basket case, but so was he. So was he. He carried that great burden. He was crying tears of blood. Where's our heart? That's what he went through. Let this cup pass from me. Is that our heart? It's hard to live it, isn't it? Now, I'm speaking to myself more than anybody here, I'll tell you that. I'm trying to take this time as an investment in my heart. Read it. What did he do? What should I be doing during this time? Because we're unleavening all our lives. We're unleavening, overcoming, so we can be this first fruits. That's what this day is. First fruits. Do you think, talk about the Beeb thing, do you think they offered an offering that wasn't mature? What do you think the Father would have done with that offering? But we, as the plants, think we can dictate to our Father what maturity is. And what time is right. He doesn't say that. Genesis 1:14 tells us the time is right. I mean, some may use the Enoch calendar, say there's only 360 days. But Enoch also says to look at the first sliver of the 14th part when it begins to shine upon it, that's the new moon. Heart of a child. So I'm looking for the month. Each year, looking for that month. I personally go by after the spring equinox because you can't complete a cycle until the sun comes back. You know, what's the day? Sunset to sunset. Not complicated. You know, heart of a child can understand this. A month, what's a month? Well, we know it's the first sighting of the moon by Enoch, if we can believe that. And I can. You know why? Because I've done it for 20-some years. I used to go by Heliel for 30 years before that, but I always felt there was something empty. It's when I started following the light of the world, looking up to Him, that I felt a difference in my life. Connection to His heart. Each month you're being renewed, and you fall away. Renewed. Fall away. Is that not our cycle? It sure was Israel's. One generation got it, the next one walked away. I see it in my own children. Don't mean as much to them as it does to me. So that means bumps and bruises ahead. Egypt ahead. We all have to come out of Egypt. I can't do it for anybody else. We all have to go through this process. And that's why we're here. We're coming, fleeing from Egypt. Fleeing from... What a burden. What a burden, Mark. I have to come out of... I believe they're spoiling Egypt about the time he was crucified. That's my personal belief. Because he gave the authority and freedom. You know? Right or wrong, that's where I'm at. You know, because it makes awesome sense to me. Because he had to die in order to have that true freedom. Until that point, we didn't have true freedom. And we're spoiling Egypt today. We're coming and picking up what's good. But for what? To build a false god? Are you here to build a false god? Lift yourself up and say, well, I'm more righteous than you because I was at the feast. No, I'm more broken than you because I was at the feast. Do you get my drift? Do you understand the heart? Let this heart not be far from you. How am I doing on time? I'm sure everybody's getting hungry. I'll go. Huh? Well, I knew I wasn't good at chapter 10, so. Chapter 2. But that's how exciting this is. I mean, just cleaning. Check. He fulfilled this. We don't have to argue about this. Just take it for what it says. This is what he came to fulfill. Okay, let's see. So, and there was until the death of Herod, and it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. So what if this prophet wouldn't have wrote this down? What if that forefather, is this Elijah? Who's the prophet? Right? Who wrote this down originally? Anybody? 1 15, chapter 2. Hosea 11:1. So Hosea. Okay, out of Egypt I called my son. Check. What did he come to fulfill? Do away with the law? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Exactly. Check. Prophecy fulfilled. If you get that in your heart today, he's called you out of Egypt, then you grasp the prophecy right there. You're living it. If anybody disagrees with me, go ahead. I'm just reading the scriptures. Hate me if you want, but kill the messenger. But the message is true. It's been done. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he set forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem in all the districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Check Exodus 1:16 and 22. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah. Anybody know about Ramah? Anybody done any research on Ramah? What that means in Hebrew? Or what would that mean? Lamentation. Would that be about lamentation? Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Is that what they're talking about there? I'm not familiar with the term Ramah. Anybody got any thoughts on that? And the voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Why are they no more? Why was their heart far from him? Because they didn't listen to the still calm voice and be obedient. We're going to have a lot of great weeping and gnashing of teeth coming soon to a theater near you. But that's not his heart. His heart is that you change and repent and spend time with him right now. Yeah. Overcome now. Yeah. If you want to be in the first fruits offering, you better be overcoming your flesh now. Yeah. Don't put it off for later. Work on yourself now. Get rid of the sarcasm. Get rid of the hurtfulness to others. Yeah. Out of your heart now.
Jeff,
yeah?
It'd be a hill.
A hill?
A hill.
Is that a specific hill somewhere?
Yeah, it's the town of the tribe of Benjamin, situated about 5 miles north of Jerusalem on the road to the
hill. Okay, so that was an area of lamenting for Jerusalem, basically. I wonder if the Messiah went there when he was looking over Jerusalem. He was on Mount Olives, wasn't he? Was he on the Mount Olives when he was crying over Jerusalem and say, I wish I could gather you in? Does anybody know? I don't know. So.
And he's still gone.
Still gone. Yeah, she thought she lost him. Did she die before he was taken?
Yeah.
Yeah.
childbirth.
That's right. That's correct. My mind is going.
So, like, weeping for children, it's lost tribe. They're gone.
Yeah, and so the question is, are we gone? Are we lost tribes? Yeah. 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 Sad, but true. We're lost. But hopefully we're spending this time getting found. But how do you get found? The lost is found. Do you have the heart to go out for that lost one? He did. Leave the 99 behind and go find that lost one? You know, my wife sure does. I don't at times. I say, well, let them have what they want. Let the drunkard get drunk. But I can pray for them. I can ask, Father, please help them see the errors of their ways. I can do that much and be available when I do ask questions. I can do that much. But if my heart's not right, I'm not going to have the answers when I'm before priests and kings. So are you ready? Are you getting your heart ready, Eva? So you have the answers when you're ahead of priests and kings that are in training? I know you do, because you trained me up well in the last 20 years that I've known you. I have great respect for you, Miss Eva. And when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph. Again, if Joseph didn't listen, if our forefather didn't listen, where would we be? If we don't listen, where are we going to be? In a ditch somewhere. Lost. Listen. Listen to that still, calm voice. Reject the adversary's voice. I know we all have, at least I do. I can only speak for myself. You got adversarial voice coming at you, and you got the Father Spirit coming at you. I hope you do, anyways. You have to decide which voice you're going to listen to. Choose you this day. And say, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. And those who sought the young child's life are dead. What a prophecy. Check. What did he come to do? Destroy the law? No, he came to live so that we can have life more abundantly. He lived it. He was the exact representation of what we should be if we're maturing. It's like the scripture says the perfect love casts out all fear, but I've come to realize when you look that word up, it's actually a mature love casts out fear. Are you maturing in your love towards others, especially to your Father? Are you spending time with Him so that you can cast out, don't have to be afraid no more what men are going to do to you? I mean, it's coming soon. We're going to see who's on His side. You know, even the disciples said they're not going to deny Him. They won't deny Him. Cock crowed three times. And Peter, was it Peter denied Him?
Yeah.
Are we any better? When it comes down to it, when my truck the other day was driving down the road in Gatlinburg and I lost my brakes, what am I going to do? Trust and faith that He'll stop the vehicle for me, that's for sure. Is that our first thought, or every other swear word comes out of our mouth? I hope not. Because we will be lost. We need to overcome. Our first tendency needs to be linking to Him. I was scared. Saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel for those who sought the young child. So now they're moving from Egypt into the promised land. Is that not our journey as we walk this walk? But you won't be there unless you have that heart of a child. You won't. I'm sorry. Scripture said, it's not my words, it's not my opinion. You know, our heart has to be renewed. And then he arose. We'll go to chapter 3, then we can all eat. I know everybody's hungry. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard Archelaus? Anybody?
Archelaus,
there we go. Was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod. And he was afraid to go there, and being warned by Elohim in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth. Check! that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. So, is your heart far from him? Because he sure didn't come to get away with murder. He came to show us how to love and not even have anger in our heart. So, is your heart far from him? I hope it's closer to him this week than you ever been in your life. Amen. Let it be done. Hallelujah.